And I'm Matt.
We don't give a toss about Britney, Whitney, or Shitney.
Let's go inside.
Welcome to Podcast 10, Hans Island Podcast 10. I'm your host, Robert, the Danish guy sitting in Scotland, and in true Hans Island fashion, talking about stuff that everybody should know stuff about, but actually don't because it's too trivial, I suppose. And of course, I only know half what I'm talking about anyway. So, this podcast should actually be a bit longer than usual, the usual being about, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 minutes or something, and this one I'm going to make a bit longer because there's only one a week. I'm still under tremendous time pressure. I've got so much to do, preparing for winter, doing all sorts of things, and working a lot. I'm travelling at present throughout Scotland, so that's taking its toll on me. Like last time, the last podcast I did was done in the middle of the night. Not very clever, I find. Well, it wasn't actually in the middle of the night, but it felt like the middle of the night because I was really tired, and especially the day after. So that's not going to happen this time. This time we have got Jesper Rasmussen lined up, this time not with mushrooms, but with something completely different. I'll leave that up to you to judge exactly what he's on about. So why don't we just launch into that, and then we'll get into some subject matter after that. Here we go, Jesper Rasmussen, the anti-globalization fuckwit.
Jesper Rasmussen, anti-globalization fuckwit.
Jesper Rasmussen, activist. I'm here in Copenhagen, and I'm going to see the post people, the postvæsenet, and I am going to try and get a job on the post boat that goes to Greenland. I am wanting to go to Hans Island to make a demonstration against the Danish and the Canadian people, and show them that Hans Island is just for Hans Island people. And Torsten has said that he wants to come as well. He says that he has shoes from Timberland that can be used in minus 50 degrees. I have now given the postvæsenet here in Copenhagen an application form to get on the boat. They said that the boat does not stop, it does not go all the way to Hans Island. But I am thinking that I can take a taxi the rest of the way, and that should not be a problem. Torsten is going to use his bank credit card, so we will be absolutely fine. Torsten has told me that he does not want to come to Greenland with me, because he is demonstrating in anti-global ways about the shoes and trousers in Greenland being made of baby seals. I did not know this, and I will go to the Ministry of Greenland here in Copenhagen to do a protest. This is Jesper Rasmussen in Copenhagen, standing outside the Ministry of Greenland. The man, he asked me whether I knew where my leather jacket came from. And I told him that it did not come from Greenland, which is what I was protesting against. I told him that it was from Timberland in Sweden. And he pushed me out of the door. This is Jesper Rasmussen, and I'm now going to plan to get the baby seal message across to these people. Over and out.
Jesper Rasmussen, anti-globalization fuckwit.
Let's immediately move into the Skype session arena. Here we go.
Skype session.
Hello?
Hello, Mike. How's it going?
Hello, Robert. It's going fine.
Good. Fine. You're being taped. No, not taped. You're being digitally enhanced on a hard disk at present. So whatever it's called. What's it called? It's not taping, is it? It's recording? Is it recording? That's digitizing. I don't know.
That sounds, well, yes.
So, anyway. So we got off to a completely different start from one I had envisaged. So, yes. We're both still in Scotland, and I sent you a couple of links, which I thought that would be quite interesting to, in a Hans Islandy kind of way, to have a talk about.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to look at them?
I'm afraid I haven't really.
No problem. I can. Maybe you could just give your input to them. One of them is this. It's something called DARPA. I don't know what that is, but they've got something called Grand Challenge, which is the Department of Defense having some kind of robotic challenge where they challenge where they want teams to enter in robotic cars that can make it over a terrain in some desert kind of thing. Yeah, and it's a $1 million prize, etc. Yeah, and it's all. The Department of Defense, and it's a congressional mandate and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, the usual thing. Yeah, and the winner will then go on to make a defense contract so they can build robotic tanks, so etc.
Mm-hmm.
And the usual stuff. Yeah. Now here's a thought. It's obviously a cultural thing. Yeah. Because can you imagine that happening in Europe anywhere? Saying yeah, the Ministry of Defense or some other department somewhere, you know, the social welfare department has challenged. No one would turn up, do you know? And you would think that in a capitalist society that was driven by market economy, that you would have to have sponsors like Coca-Cola, and you know, to get anybody out of bed.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's exactly the opposite. You actually need to say, no, this is a federal government, congressional, Department of Defense, blah, 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 to get people out of bed and take it seriously. Whereas in Europe, people wouldn't even wink at it, you know. You'd have to have it sponsored by Orange or something else, Ericsson or something. Oh. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. You know, but it's obviously another example of the big cultural differences between us and them, you know.
Absolutely. And I was, you know, but taking that aside, robotic tanks, it says something, deserts, blah, blah, blah. Research and development into autonomous ground vehicles that will help save American lives on the battlefield, which is a grand statement, I think. I think that translates to me as a European as being kill our allies in friendly fire incidents without actually having to blame any person, is what it sounds to me. Like, I don't know. So. That was actually a stupid website that I found then, wasn't it? Because it wasn't that interesting.
It was all right. It was. I had my brief look at it was just that, you know. But I mean, I did notice the teams. There's some serious teams in there. If, like, you know, Princeton University and other bits and pieces are entering things. They're obviously taking things quite seriously with their actual kind of, you know, submissions. So
yes,
interesting thing.
And the other one was this. It's a crowd in Munich, that's in Germany, who have taken it upon themselves to set up this service where you can send your fluffy toy or teddy bear to them, and they will take it for a sightseeing tour around Munich to see the sights, and they'll photograph it, you know, at Marienkirchplatz, at the new airport, on the bus, on the trams, in a beer garden, at the Oktoberfest and stuff. And then send it back again on the plane to you. Do you know?
That is very unusual.
It is freaking nuts, isn't it? It is absolutely nuts that there's a child every 3 seconds that dies of starvation on the planet, and there is a global energy crisis going on, and these people are actually making money out of fat people sending fluffy toys on airplanes half across the world. It is absolutely nuts. It's a nice idea and stuff, like, you know, somebody showing enterprise and ingenuity, etc. But it really does, if you think about it, well, for me anyway, it symbolizes everything that is wrong with the planet today.
Well,
literally.
I know what you mean. I mean, it is kind of harmless fun, but at the same time, yes, I know it's kind of a waste. But then I suppose you could say that accusation of a lot of things that have no, don't improve mankind or, balance out the huge, differences in wealth and standard of living, etc., on the planet. So, it's... I didn't want to get too heavy about it when I saw that.
No, sorry. I do.
But
I was maybe being a bit too in depth and hurt sociologically speaking on the whole thing. So did you hear the last Jesper Rasmussen episode, the one with the mushrooms?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was a good one. He was typically off the mark as usual, and.
I had such a laugh. It was too late in the evening and stuff when I went off on a mushroom hunt on the internet. But there could have been plenty of material in that. But that's what I came up with. But it was quite funny. I don't know. Is it a Scottish thing? Because I've only heard about mushrooms since I've come up to Scotland.
Well, I don't. Well, it's not. I think you they're. You know they're. A social thing in a number of countries, not just here, but as far as I know, but mm-hmm.
So this week, because now I'm going to see if I can make longer podcasts and once a week as opposed to lots of little ones interspersed with things, because mm-hmm. it's just too stressful. It's taken, it started off the first month as podcasts do, I gather. That you're all enthusiastic and stuff like that, but actually keeping the tempo up is exhausting. It's not because of lack of material; it's simply just lack of time to sit down with a microphone, a crappy microphone at that. You've got a good microphone. What kind is that you've got?
This is a Labtec headset I've got. Oh, very cheap and cheerful, only £6 or something from eBuyer online. I don't know if you want it. Are we allowed to advertise on your show? eBuyer. Well, in fact, I don't buy from eBuyer anymore. I had a huge falling out with them. I bought a monitor from them, a 21-inch CRT. It went wrong within the warranty period, and getting my money back took... Well, I didn't even want my money back. I just wanted a working monitor, which didn't seem like an unreasonable request. It turned into a 3 or 4 month saga, and I got completely pissed off with them, and I won't buy from them again. And I'd spent like a couple of grand over, a couple of years, enough that I would have expected my custom to be taken slightly more seriously, and it wasn't. So, actually, I wouldn't recommend eBuyer, but the headset itself is fine.
Excellent. Which they obviously didn't produce; they just sold it.
Oh, well, yes, indeed, yeah.
Kind of idea. Yes. Well, I will remember that. I don't know. Well, actually, I went on in vain search of a microphone, because the one I'm using is kind of, I can't say stuff like p and t and stuff without it going haywire. And also, I've got to hold it up to my face, and it's a stereo thing, and I've got it plugged into a mono thing, and it's just not very good. I want one that can stand in the middle of a table, and I can just sit and talk. That would be grand.
Oh, that would be much better. That's much more.
Yeah. So, and of course, I went into your usual shop to go and buy that, and I just got a blank stare. If I'd asked for, can I have a 250 meg zip drive thing, or can I have a PC worth loads of money that can do all sorts of useless stuff that I'll never use, and I'll treat it as a stereo, and if it goes wrong, I'll go to the hi-fi department instead of actually taking the time to read the bleeding manual. If I'd gone in and asked for stuff like that, then they would have been happy, but I went in and said, can I have a microphone, please? And they just looked completely perplexed. Microphone? I can't deal with this communication. Is that an English word? Microphone?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's an unfortunate kind of side effect of the way, at modern retail, there's no...
Absolutely.
You don't walk into there's no expert there to tell you about it. There's just,
Yeah, because a microphone to them is sort of it's the thing that no one connects that's in the bottom of the prepackaged PC package, or it's that little hole in the laptop monitor. we can sell you a laptop monitor with a hole in if you want. No, thanks. I'll just have a microphone, please. So I'm still down to this crappy microphone, I'm afraid. But that will have to do. Anyway, so was there anything we were going to talk about? There was those two things that I sent you and mushrooms and things like that. Yeah. So have you seen the staying on the Hans Island bit? Yeah. You've seen there's a thing on the website that you can vote for.
Yes, indeed.
With Jesper Rasmussen, and that kind of ran out today, and there's been like me and my dog and I think Mark voted once. And somebody from the US I think voted as well.
Oh really? Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there's an audience of one. Or two. Because there's you. You're an audience and I'm an audience. So that's like two audience. No, that's three because there's three people listening to this. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Well, hopefully the listener can, you know, he signed the guest book. Did you mention that before?
Yeah, he signed the guest book, and I think he voted. Oh, well, I'm not sure. That could
perhaps you could, invite him to a Skype session and bring him on the show.
Absolutely.
Interaction with your audience.
Absolutely, and find something mildly interesting to talk about. So I was thinking, since that's like a third of the audience is from the States, it's got to be a bit careful with the whole bushwhacking.
Anti-bush.
Kind of like, yeah, exactly.
Because
there's a 50-50 chance that that will be a, or is that, what is that, 49.9/51.1, I can't remember. There's a 50-50 chance that's a bush voter,
Well,
which could turn out to be disastrous. If there was a Skype session,
he still might be happy to come on and defend his leader's position, or just because you're.
That's absolutely right.
If you're a supporter of someone, you can still be critical of them. I think there's nothing unreasonable about that. So.
Yes. Well,
so,
if I was going to be critical of the likes of Bush, I'd make sure that he didn't know where I lived for a start. says Robert, who uses MSN and Skype, and this is no doubt, and it's not only me recording this, I'm sure there's some mainframe somewhere that's recording this at the same time, but so that could be quite interesting. Or maybe I should just instead of saying Bush this and Bush that, maybe I should just like stick to Cheney.
Well,
or something else.
Cheney.
I don't know.
God, he's a whole new subject.
Oh yes, that could go on, couldn't it?
Indeed.
Yes. So anyway, I'll see if this comes out correctly, and I've got to do some other stuff, and I'm late with this podcast as usual. So thanks for the wee Skype session. I think we've got to find something interesting to talk about. I think.
I promise to thoroughly read any other links that you send over in advance of our next Skype session.
Okie doke. I think actually I've got some already. Let's see. Show. Yeah. Well, we've got that. That handbag that was invented with that lights up.
That
it's solar
great.
Powered.
Yeah. You showed me. I looked up the designer's site. I looked up her site, and I think it's not
pretty
quite
good, isn't it?
I think it's absolutely excellent.
So it's
I don't
a
know
solar
if it's ready for release yet, though, is it?
I think it is. It's so simple, but it's one of those things that it's known technology. It's nothing new technologically, but it's just the implementation of it is brilliant.
Well, I hope it does, end up being marketed, because I thought it looked really good. I was quite impressed with that.
Absolutely. So if you can get jumpers, or sorry, if you can get handbags, surely you can get jumpers that do the same thing.
You would think so.
And jackets, etc., which will make the whole meat market on a Friday night down the pub much easier.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. Then you don't have to actually make guesstimates or anything. It's there. Then you all you need to do is to take that usually worker. So, what are you girls doing after this? And there's actually only one of them because you've had 8 pints because you were stupid enough to go down to the pub at 4 in the afternoon. So anyway, that could go on. Thanks. This is gonna carry on. I think we're already up to 14 minutes or something. I've got to squeeze the rest of the podcast in. Sorry for taking up all that time, Mike.
Not at all.
So I will speak to you at a later stage in a couple of weeks, maybe on another Skype session, and I'll prepare some stuff to talk about because there really is an awful lot. There's hydrogen and fuel cells and that whole thing. And then there's, oh, and Vestas, the windmill people, they got a new contract for some huge wind farm, 127 windmills somewhere in the western northwest of America, some big wind farm kind of stuff over the next 5 years. It's huge. And each of these windmills is 1.8 megawatts. So you work out the math. These things are huge. Absolutely brilliant. So I'll find out some more information. I don't think any of them are actually going to get built in Scotland and shipped over. They're probably going to get built somewhere in the States or Mexico. Or maybe if they subcontract to the Gap, it'll be built in Indonesia by 5-year-olds. Anyway,
controversial.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see if I can get some enemies here on Death Island. Brilliant. Okie doke. Well, I will speak to you later then.
Sure. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
No problem.
Cheers.
Bye.
Skype session.
So, yes, here we go. What I was actually going to talk about on this podcast was Antonio Meucci, another one of these great guys that invented something and someone else then shaped it and delivered it to the world. Alex Bell did just that, I think, Alexander Graham Bell. Anyway, as far as I can remember, Antonio was fidgeting about with copper plates and stuff and not actually trying to invent the telephone. The idea that he had was that if a person had a piece of copper in their mouth and that piece of copper was connected to a cable that was then connected to another piece of copper that someone else had in their mouth, these two people would be able to share the same sensation. Now, I can only agree with that because obviously if you put electricity through the cable, they'd both get a nasty sensation, if you like. Stay with me on this now, okay? I think what his theory was that if one of the people had a headache or toothache, for example, that the other person would be able to feel that sensation, you know, of the toothache or headache or whatever. Now, what he discovered was that if he had a really long piece of cable and put people in different parts of a building, then if the people that had that copper plate in their mouth actually started mumbling or talking or whatever, they could hear each other. So that is absolutely fascinating. That's really, really fascinating. And then obviously he thought, oh, bloody hell, this is great. And then he developed the whole thing with batteries, etc., and eventually ended up having something that looked like a microphone and then a loudspeaker, etc., etc. And then it all, you know, didn't come. He didn't get it patented, basically. So that's how he got lost. Now, the interesting part of this is that, as I mentioned, the first bit of the transmission of pain or, you know, that physical sensation. Now, that has kind of been forgotten over the years, probably because, you know, there's more of a market for voice. Yeah, and I bet that now, though, a phone that could transmit a sensation would be an instant bestseller. You could pursue all sorts of adult things like drugs and sex and rock and roll, etc., over that. But obviously, there is a snag. The overall problem is that our world is a digital one, where everything is carved into little packets, data packets or voice packets or whatever, or quanta, if you like, if you're in that mind, and that will never work. You know, the pursuit of analog real things has ceased, and the whole loss of the analog real world in favor of that false carbon copy scaled down digital world is probably worthy of its own podcast, but I'll have to leave that for now. Interesting stuff there from Antonio Meucci.
Hello. I'd just like to say that people that take a healthy interest in fringe science are indeed groovy too. I was even close to an anti-nuclear waste march once, and I also got some tea bags from Fairtrade, or Tradecraft. I am groovy, damn it.
So, yes, I think I'm slowly coming to the end of podcast 10 here. There was a bit of Antonio Meucci there. Interesting stuff. There'll be links on the website as soon as I can get around to doing it. There was a rather long and lengthy Skype session with Mike, who I hope... Mike enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it, because, just sitting chatting is pretty good. But I hope that any audience that might be listening, all two or three of them, that no one fell asleep during the whole thing. Next week we'll have more Jesper Rasmussen, and I think it's going to be absolutely hysterically funny. I'm already laughing at the next episode of Jesper Rasmussen. So that's it. I'm going to put those links up, and that's it. Tschüss, ciao, bye-bye, sayonara, and all the other stuff. Bis später.
Dette program er lavet med gratis software fra internettet som følger. Audacity for soundmixing, hot recorder for Skype recording. Tusind tak til Calpomat, fundet via flashkit.com for baggrundslyd. Ja, e-mailer dig nok, kammerat. Dette podcast indeholder mine meninger alene og repræsenterer ingen organisationer, bevægelser eller ideologi. Hold fast på internettet som et frit medium.
This was made with free software found on the internet as follows: Audacity for sound mixing and Hot Recorder for Skype recording. Thanks and shout out to Calpomat, found via flashkit.com for the excellent sound loops in the background. This recording contains my views and my opinions and does not represent any organizations, movements or ideologies. Let's keep the internet free.